All right, we're back. Mm-hmm. Plowing on, it's morning. We're looking at the 8 o'clock hour. It's almost time for breakfast. Mm-hmm. So my name's Jeff Fritz. That's Brady Gaster. We're back again now. I think this is our sixth hour together.
This is our sixth hour and final, for that matter. For today.
Yes.
I'll see you in a week.
Absolutely. So. The early bird has caught the worm here. We're getting ready for our next presenter. This is, who do we have coming up? This is Gabriel. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about realworld.net.
That's good.
Not demos.
No demos. Enough demos. All right.
Enough demos. Let's talk about real-world scenarios with .net. So let's fire up and get ready for Gabriel here. All right. We're going to go over to our fly-in video. We're going from Italy. We're going to go find Gabriel across Africa, across the oceans, in Sao Paulo.
Hello.
Hey, there's Gabriel. Good morning.
Hey.
Thanks so much for joining us on .NET Conf.
Oh, it's been fine. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Depends on where you are, right?
Absolutely. All right, Gabriel, the stage is yours.
Take care, man. Good luck.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Hello, everybody. As Jeffrey said, my name is Gabriel. I'm here from São Paulo, Brazil, to give you an introduction, not an introduction, but to give you some content regarding a different way of thinking about the demos that we have learned in all the demos that we use it to watch in this conference, because I do think they are important, but sometimes we forget a little bit about how to translate these demos into real projects, right? So I will talk a little bit in Portuguese, because I believe some people from Brazil is watching this video, but the presentation will be totally in English, and after the presentation, I will answer some questions both in English and in Portuguese, right? Pessoal do Brasil, bom dia, boa tarde já estão chegando aqui na hora do almoço. Um grande abraço aí para todos que estão me assistindo. Essa apresentação vai falar um pouquinho sobre como a gente transforma demos em mundo real, ou como que as ferramentas da Microsoft podem nos ajudar a transformar demos em mundo real. Eu vou fazer a apresentação em inglês, mas logo em seguida eu faço alguns comentários também em português e respondo questões tanto em inglês como em português, ok? Well, let's get started. So, let me do that. Hold on a second. Yes, here we go. Well, so as I told you, the idea here is to talk about how demos are cool, but let's talk about a little bit about the real world, right? These are my contacts. You can send me mail. You can find me at Twitter, and be free to just call me if you need, right? Again, just remember, I will do the presentation only in English. But questions about the slides will be explained at the end of the presentation. And maybe if you have some questions specific in Portuguese, I can do it in Portuguese again and come back to a single slide that maybe you don't understand. Well, who am I? I guess this is important because sometimes we don't understand why that person is talking about that subject. And, well, I'm a software architect nowadays. It's been 20 years developing solutions for retail and industry markets in a really big company here in Brazil. And for more than 16 years, I've been studying and researching about how to develop and how to deliver software with good quality. I believe since my graduation, I have this worry because software with bad quality means loss of costs. And because of that, I understand that without doing software with good quality, things are not that well done like we could do with good quality software. And because of this research, in 10 years ago, I started a career as a professor in a university here in Brazil. And I have the opportunity to teach about this wonderful area that we all have chosen. And this is really, really fantastic because most of the time we learn a lot because you have this opportunity. Like in this moment that I'm doing this presentation, I have the opportunity to talk about a subject that I love. And more than that, I can exchange some info about this area that I believe you all love. That's why you are here in this moment. Well, this is one of the reasons that you are here, but I believe that the other reason that makes you be here in this moment is that the velocity and desire of the real world are increasing day by day, right? I mean, softwares do need to be good, and more than that, they need to be delivered in a really fast way. And the problem is that the more we provide great and fast solutions, the more our customers will need good stuff delivered, right? And we will ask us to deliver good stuff. And I'm sure that Microsoft can help us with that. I'm sure that we have very, very good tools that Microsoft provides so that we can deliver to the reality, to the real world, good software. We have videos, we have demos, we have events like this one, right? So I'm sure that Microsoft can help us with that. But the point is, sometimes I'm not sure if we are ready for this new world, right? We cannot develop software the same way we used it to do 10 years ago, right? And that's my question. Are you ready for this new world? Are you ready for this world with a really velocity for delivering solutions and at the same time with high quality? That's the point that I'm asking you in this moment. And I really enjoyed this comment from Satya Nadella talking about the responsibilities that we have nowadays, right? The responsibilities that we have nowadays as software developers. Because, okay, it's really, really a world of great opportunities, but it is a world with great and big responsibilities. The pillars that he had mentioned when he talked about this topic are privacy, cybersecurity, and ethical AI. And of course, we can talk about each of these pillars for many, many hours. But the point is, I am sure that Microsoft is doing a great job delivering their softwares with privacy, cybersecurity, and ethical AI as basis, right? But are you working on this? I mean, when you develop your application, when you develop your solution, are you worried about this scenario? Are you worried about this problem or these topics? I mean, being more clear, are your projects demo-likes or are they ready for the real world? What I mean by that? What I mean by that is that you have to understand that this is a demo, right? Demos are, they are very great to understand the concept of some technologies and some solutions that we want to provide. but a demo will never be your end product because it's not sustainable, right? So demos are really cool, but we need to understand that they are just a startup for your project. They are not going to be your end product, right? And this is real world. Real world needs worries that in demos, no, we usually do not care about. And because of that, we have to understand that our solutions, our softwares, they need some principles, right? They need to understand that we have some principles so that we can deliver good stuff, right? And this root concept is very nice because it really makes you understand that if you think about demos or a prototype as your end project, you're going to have a really weak and inflexible product, right? That's the point. We need to understand that demos are good to make you understand things done, but you're not going to finish your job using the demos, right? And I can tell you that I have already worked in many different technologies, and this is something that it doesn't matter the technology that you are using. What matters is the principle or are the principles that you are worried about, right? No matter if you are talking about Windows Form or a Windows Service or a WPF application, .NET Compact applications, websites, .NET Core, ASP.NET Core, Xamarin, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter the technology. What it matters are the principles, right? And these principles that we need to discuss since the design of a development, right? Without these principles, I believe that we are not going to live and sleep well. And this is a point of attention that I'm trying to expose to you. That's why I am here in this moment, because sometimes I watch very, very good presentations explaining how you can use a technology, right? I'm sure that you have already watched in this event lots of very, very good presentations explaining how to do a specific situation, how to solve a specific problem. But believe me, this is just the start point. And you do need to think about some other points and some principles so that you can give back a very good solution to your customer, right? And because of that, what I decided to present you, I decided to present you three real cases where we, because I have a team here working with me, where we use Microsoft tools and Microsoft platform to solve what I think are really big problems, right? And that's the point from now to this presentation. I'm going to present you these cases, describing how the technology that Microsoft provides help me up with these solutions. Okay, so let's get started with the first case, that means real user needs and .NET Core. Well, there's a principle in software architecture called reuse. The more you reuse, the fastest is your development. So let's take a look at this scenario. I have here a Windows service that was developed in 2008, and it is still in improvement. I mean, it's always having some modifications so that we can keep up with the current necessity of our customers. Well, from 2008 up to 2018, we have already developed here around 195,000 lines of well-programmed and tested code. And then we have a really, really big problem because some of our customers, they have as need the desire of this solution in a Linux environment. Can you imagine we just the situation of rewriting 195,000 lines of code, well programmed and tested, to another environment, to another programming language? Man, this in many cases this will make the project stop. That's the point. So we thought about, we checked out, why not trying to use .NET Core console application running in Linux background as a solution. And then we started doing some tests. And this is really nice because when we started this project here, I thought, well, maybe we're going to need to write some classes and some code again, but it's okay. Let's at least try, because actually I saw in a demo presentation a .NET Core console application working, and in that scenario it looked well, right? It makes sense what Microsoft was presenting, .NET Standard and all the things that we already know about this new era of Microsoft. Okay, that was the really, really nice point. I was able to reuse 99.8% of the code. Can you imagine that? It was possible to just add the libraries as references in that console application, .NET Core console application, and I had the same libraries, the same structure. I had the same binaries working well in Linux. I have already tested this scenario in CentOS. I have already tested this scenario in almost all the platforms that .NET Core is able to run, and it's running really, really, really well. Of course, when we wrote this code in the past, we thought that we could use this as a code to be reused. So the principle of reusing code was there in that project in 2008. I'm sure that in 2008, I'm not aware that Microsoft would love Linux like Microsoft loves today. But we have written this code using code reuse principles because other opportunities that we saw in that moment, right? And just because of that, nowadays we do have the same binaries working and running in both Windows Server and Linux Server. For us, this is something really, really good. And think about the user need. We need the solution running in Linux, right? But we don't want to wait months to have this solution done. We just need the same solution we have in Windows running in Linux. And after some weeks, we could do some great tests even in production. So understand that with this technology that .NET Core provides to us nowadays, I could deliver a well-programmed and tested software in a small period of time. That's the point. That's why we think that .NET Core nowadays is a really, really, really good platform for your new projects. That's why I believe that .NET Standard is the future of development, and this is real world. That's the point. I'm not talking about a single class running a single object and with some methods. No, I'm talking about 195,000 lines of code written. Of course, we have some points of attention and compatibility here, right? One thing that you need to remember is that Linux is case sensitive. So the files, the folders, and path separators are a bit different from Windows. And in some cases, we could need some ifs, like this one that we have here in this code sample. But this is pretty simple. You just check if you are running in a Linux platform, and then as an interrupt service, you could check if you are in the Linux world or if you are running Windows or even other platforms. Well, this first case, I tried to demonstrate to you how Microsoft helped us delivering fast solutions for our user needs according to this new platform of .NET Core that we have. It's not that new, but it's good to know that it's improving, right? Now let's talk about Visual Studio. I don't know if you think that Visual Studio is a good platform or not. I believe you think about that, but sometimes we think about Visual Studio as a really difficult platform to understand, especially if you start learning programming, or maybe if you start learning this environment, this Microsoft environment. Well, actually, you just understand how incredible Visual Studio is when you talk about big projects. Currently, I'm running with my team a really, really, really big project. Maybe for you this is not that big, but for my environment, for my team nowadays, this is the biggest project that I have ever architected. And just to let you know, these are the numbers and the technologies that we have in this project. So since the Linux service that I just mentioned to you, we have two other Windows services, we have microservices, we have R scripts for the machine learning that we are running here, we have SQL Server database, we have web apps, we have cloud services, we have bunches of libraries, we have IoT Hub with string analytics. Well, we have lots of things. And I started counting for this presentation, these projects, and I got confused because there are many, many, many projects. And I started, and I thought about a different way to demonstrate to you the quantity of projects I'm talking about. And we have 64 projects, 64 CS projects in this solution. Wow, this could be a really small quantity of solutions, of projects for your solution, your current solution, or maybe you're gonna say, wow, 64 projects, what do you mean by that? It's a platform, it's a SaaS platform, right? And the point is, do you know any environment, development environment, where you can manage so many different kinds of projects I don't, where you can have so many different ways to debug and deploy a solution. I don't. That's the point, right? Real world needs a software development environment with continuous improvement. And for me, Visual Studio is the one, right? Not only because the continuous improvement of new features, but especially the improvements of performance. I had the opportunity to talk about a team from Visual Studio this year and arguing about the performance that we have, especially when we got many projects in a solution. The answer is we are working on it and we keep working on it and we always work on it. This is important for a company. This is important for a product or a platform that you are developing, because it's not only the environment, is the support, is the community, as what we are doing here, right? We're exchanging info. We're talking about this environment of VisualStudio.net. So think about that. Think that without a environment, a development environment with a good quality, how can you produce good software, right? Sometimes I have the opportunity to talk about these different environments that we have in the world. And I have lots of cases where people spend times and spend a lot of time trying to solve problems regarding to the development environment. And maybe this is just because you are not using the correct tool for the correct project. You know what I mean? That's the idea here. Understand that real world needs a software development environment with continuous improvement. And I'm sure that Visual Studio is the best one that we have in the world. Well, this is my last case. This is my last scenario. And I'm going to talk about this pretty new feature or this pretty new service that Microsoft is providing, that is Azure DevOps. Well, real world and Azure DevOps is a case that I understand that we are all interested, because we have many situations and many cases where DevOps looks like the solution, the best solution. Well, I really enjoyed this idea that Donovan described it from what is DevOps. DevOps is the union of people, process, products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. And this is really good, because it's clear in the sentence that Donovan describes here that it doesn't matter only the product. So Azure DevOps is the product, okay, but you need to understand the people and the process to deliver value to our end users. And because of that, I really understand that when you say that DevOps gives value to end users, I can affirm to you that real world needs DevOps. This is something that you need to think about. If you're not running DevOps pipeline in your projects nowadays, I would say to you that this is not the future. This is the present that real world needs, because people don't understand. You spend hundreds of hours developing a software without giving back something to the user. That's the point, right? But you need to think about another thing. How can we deliver value
to our end users and keep environments safe, because it's a little bit strained to think about continuous deliver without thinking about the topics that Satya had mentioned, right? And what I mean by environments safe, and I have here a sample that I just got from Azure. I'm sure that you've already seen this in another presentation here in .NET Conf, but let me just explain to you what I'm showing here. Here we have the environment of Microsoft Azure, and you can start now a DevOps project using this platform. So you just say, oh, I want to create a .NET platform. I want to create a DevOps project using .NET as language application for the application. As you can see, you have many other different options of programming language here. And then you just go next and say, well, the framework I'm going to use is .NET Core, because I'm in a .NET application. This is good. I can add a database, maybe. Great. And then I just go next and say, well, I will deploy this application in a web app. I can use a Kubernetes service. I can use a Linux web app. We have many different ways to deploy this application, a virtual machine, doesn't matter. And then you can create the VSTS, the old VSTS scenario, or the new DevOps, Azure DevOps scenario, where you just set up the place where your development environment will be managed, and you just say, well, I'm going to deploy this in Azure in that specific location. Really good. Just some clicks. And bang, you have an environment with GitHub, with pipelines, with Git as a repository, right? Using the same commands that you use in GitHub in this repository. You have boards for planning your project with different sprints. It's really easy. This is really cool. Well, I believe it will take you something around 10 minutes to have this environment done for your application. And it's more than that. You have all the pipeline for continuous development and deployment. Well, but it's deployed here. This is good. This is really good. And then you have something really interesting. You can run a continuous delivery for your application. It's so easy to do that in some minutes you can bug your app. You know what I mean? It's so easy to make these things happen that maybe you can think about, oh, this is not demo, this is real life. No, this is not real life, right? If you deliver a solution using only development stage, right? The consequence is that you're gonna bug your application. You're gonna bug. You're gonna have bugs inside your application in a fast way, and this is not good. This is not a good idea, right? So you have to remember the principles again. Microsoft provides you a fantastic environment. I would say that Azure DevOps is a fantastic tool. It's the best one. It's the best in class. But you need to understand that without the principles, maybe you're not going to have staged environments. You're not going to have approval, a pipeline with approvals. That is really important when you talk about the real world. You see, it's the same tool, it's the same environment, but you need to remember this when you are developing a solution to your end user, right? Because without these scenarios well planned, how can you guarantee that you're going to deliver quality? That's the first principle of the of DevOps. Well, just to wrap up and just to make sure that you understood what I'm describing here, you have to understand that DevOps means platform as a service and more serverless, as I just described it, right? It's a fast track to deliver good software. And you can use bunches of options that we have nowadays in Azure to deliver good software in a fast track, right? I'm sure that you have already heard about all these platform as a services that Microsoft provides and the serverless options that we have nowadays. All these things are fantastic, but please do not forget the user needs, do not forget the security issues, do not forget code reuse, do not forget safe transition between development and production, because a tool without a really good process and really good people thinking about the best way to deliver good software, it's just a tool, right? But if you want a very good tool, and if you need a tool that the real world needs nowadays, you have to understand that we find this in Microsoft environments. So these tools and all the demos and all the environments that we have nowadays provided by Microsoft, they are opportunities so that you can deliver good software. However, you have to understand your responsibilities, because without that, I'm sure that you're not going to deliver the good software that Microsoft is helping you to provide. Well, that's all, folks. I believe I have some time for answering some questions, and maybe if some people want this solution, this presentation in Portuguese, I can help you up. I guess I'm gonna make a wrap up in Portuguese so that my Brazilian guys can understand better what I meant here. So let's go, let's do that. And then I open for some questions, if they are. Bom, pessoal, queria agradecer primeiramente aí a oportunidade para aqueles que assistiram a essa apresentação. A minha intenção com essa apresentação é mostrar alguns casos reais em que a plataforma Microsoft me ajudou muito no meu dia a dia, no dia a dia do meu time, entregando software de maneira rápida, mas com boa qualidade. E uma das coisas que eu sempre gosto de mencionar é a importância de você lembrar dos princípios, alguns princípios que às vezes, quando a gente está olhando para uma demonstração, a gente esquece, mas que no mundo real eles são importantíssimos para que a coisa aconteça. E a ideia de mostrar essa apresentação está muito relacionada a essa. Eu trouxe três exemplos, basicamente eu trouxe um exemplo de reuso de código, que foi fantástico o quanto eu consegui reaproveitar de código rodando .NET Core no Linux, uma coisa que foi muito legal, a gente aproveitou muito código, realmente eu estou falando de 190 mil linhas de código aí. Depois, um exemplo da quantidade de projetos dentro de uma solução que eu acabo tendo que ter por conta de uma plataforma como, como uma plataforma que a gente está desenvolvendo na linha de software como serviço. E eu não tenho dúvida que o Visual Studio é a melhor ferramenta para isso, porque fica muito difícil você lidar com tantos tipos de projetos em outras ferramentas. E último caso, é essa novidade de nome, mas bem bacana aí, a repaginada que foi dada na interface do DevOps Azure, né, do Azure DevOps, que é o antigo VSTS, mas o que é mais importante é o quanto você otimiza e ganha de tempo no momento que você seta um projeto de DevOps usando o Azure como wizard. Só que o detalhe aí é que você precisa entender que aquele wizard que é entregue pelo Azure é só o começo da brincadeira. Você precisa pensar nos diferentes ambientes de entrega de solução, porque senão você pode correr o risco de entregar algo até bugado para o seu cliente final, dependendo do jeito que você desenhar. DevOps é, para mim, uma certeza há algum tempo já, mas não só uma certeza para nós desenvolvedores, para nós técnicos, uma certeza para o mercado, é o que o mercado quer. Talvez ele não saiba ainda, principalmente aqui no Brasil, mas é o que o mercado quer, certeza. E é isso, queria agradecer, obrigado. Vou voltar para o inglês só para agradecer o pessoal da .NET Conf, e é isso, vou abrir para perguntas. Well, guys, that's all. I just want to thank .NET Conf team. It was awesome to be here. That's it. I'm open for some questions. Portuguese, English, no matter what the Spanish maybe, but let's do it.
All right. So, Gabriel, we do have a couple questions. That there's one I need to make sure I answer here. Folks are asking about video on demand, things that we've been seeing throughout the entire event here on .NET Conf. The first 2 days' content are available on YouTube. If you go to youtube.com, go to the Visual Studio channel, there's a .NET Conf 2018 playlist. Day one and day two are both loaded there, including, I see some folks calling out saying, hey, is there a Blazor talk? Including that talk from our friend Dan Roth, where he focused on Blazor late on day two. You'll be able to find that in the playlist. I think there's 17 videos right now in there. But this video with our friend Gabriel and all the videos from our friends from around the world as part of Community Day here, you'll see end up there at some point, maybe through the weekend. And we're going to rerun all of the content for .NET Conf here on Twitch right through the weekend, back to back to back. So if there's something you missed in a different time zone, you're going to be able to check in and find that right here on the Visual Studio channel.
Fantastic.
So it's you won't see it on Channel 9. Look for the Visual Studio channel on Channel 9, and that's where you'll find it. All right? All of the .NET Confs in years past are there, and you'll find this one as well. I love seeing, Gabriel, the great response to the Portuguese that we shared during your session here. You know, that's, you know, exciting to see that folks were happy to hear, you know, other Brazilians joining into the...
I'm happy for that, too.
Oh, yeah. So did anybody have... I'm keeping an eye on the chat room here. I'm looking for folks that might have some questions. But I wanted to ask you, you know, Gabriel, while we're waiting for some folks here in the chat room... you've seen some, I mean, gosh, you had that one solution that was 60 some projects that you were working on, and you had a lot of great reuse when you went from .NET Framework to .NET Core. How long did that conversion take you to go from .NET Framework to .NET Core? And were there any gotchas along the way that you want to make sure folks know about?
Let's talk about this. This was really, really good. I was surprised, to tell the truth, because When I think about converting a software, a Windows service software that was running .NET 4.6, .1, I believe, and then we decided to just reuse the libraries that this software has using .NET Core 2.0, it was quite simple, because when we developed the Windows service, we cared about how to make this code reusable in another scenarios. So it was just attach the libraries that we wrote for the Windows service, and then we just started these classes, these controller classes that we have in this Linux environment. Of course, when we got, I can just come back here, when we, the biggest problem that we had in this scenario was, here we go, was the case sensitive that Linux has and Windows don't. So we didn't care about this when we wrote the code in English, in Windows. But we had to think about that when we started writing the code for both environments. So this was the biggest problem of compatibility, because in this Windows service, I have to import some data from some files, and these files, they are in specific folders, and we had to worry about that. But in general, we just attached the same libraries and started running. It was really, really awesome, this point, because, man, it was, for us, I would say that if we need to rewrite all this code, it would take something like 6 months to have this code done again. And after these 6 months, we would need more time to test the whole application. But when you attach the same library, the same binary, and just run, and the things works, you think about, well, so I don't need to retest everything. That's the point. And that's why I try to bring this case, because it's fantastic. Wow, .NET Core is helped me a lot to deliver good features to old situations. This is really amazing.
So what I also want to make sure, oh, you can hear me.
Okay.
So what's interesting, and what I want to make sure folks also, you know, check in on here, is there's things like the registry, the Windows registry, aren't available to you in Linux. So if you're doing any kind of reference to, right, check out that configuration, of course, yeah, you're going to need to store that data somewhere else. Did you have any issues?
Exactly.
Gabriel, did you have any issues dealing with user profiles and home directories and that changeover difference between the two operating systems?
No, I don't. Even the registry scenario, we in this situation we didn't use the registry for save data, so it was not a problem. Just to let you know what kind of, I just told you, 195,000 lines of code. What about what kind of code is that? I'm talking about a code that provides connections to different equipment, right? Socket connections in a multi-thread scenario. So I'm talking about a scenario where I can run at the same time 1,000 threads connecting to different devices, and this work perfectly. Right, the socket classes, the thread classes, they work perfectly. Right, this was the scenario,
and that's great to hear, because we know that those threads and those sockets, right, eventually you're reaching outside of the managed world into those unmanaged resources, and to have that compatibility, you know, still work between .NET Framework, .NET Core, and onto, you know, Linux from Windows. Huge benefit to be able to see, and it, you know, kind words over to the .NET Core team for ensuring that compatibility.
Okay.
All right. I think that's about all the time we have. So what we're going to do I don't see any questions in the chat room.
Okay.
All right.
I have a question. Hey.
Sure.
Did you guys have any, you know, someone brought this up as a comment in here. It's like, we use registry in my project. We still have not decided where to move that data to. Did you guys run into a situation where you were reading values from the registry and changing some other things?
Let me try to understand what you asking. You have a scenario where you have registry data being written. Is that the scenario?
Yeah. So if what Javier is saying was, he's got a scenario where he's reading and writing from the registry. How would you port that when you get over to Linux?
Exactly.
So that right? You have the least amount of code that you're writing.
Maybe if you have this scenario that you are writing code, writing data in registry, maybe the best way, I would write a text file, a JSON file, for example, a setup file. And if I'm talking about safety, we need to understand that this kind of file needs to be encrypted, right? So that people cannot exchange the data that you are writing in the registry. This is one option that I would use, right? An encrypted JSON file, so that you can have the data that you wrote, that you use it to write in Windows registry, you could write now in a JSON setup file.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. All right.
Yeah. Cool. But always encrypted. Even when I use, in some cases, again, you have to think about security. Even when I use the registry, I use to encrypt the data so that the thing that is not so easy to find. That's the idea.
That's great stuff. All right. We're going to cut over to our next video. We've got to get ready for our next speaker. Thank you so much, Gabriel. We really appreciate you joining us
as part of
.NET Conf.
Thank you. It was a nice pleasure. See ya.
All righty. And friends, I hope you stick around. We're going to play a video or two here, and then we have Philip Carter joining us to talk about F# 4.5 in the next hour.
He's in studio.
He's right here. I can see him just on the other side of the camera. Hang around. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's .NET Conf 2018.